There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show. I'm Louise Ransom. Great to have you with us. Joined, as usual, by Sean Maloney, Stephen Hoyles, Drew Mitchell. Guys, great to see you as always.
Great to be back.
Northern suburbs.
Yeah, we're mixing up. So we've gone from subbies last week, back in the Shoot Shield this time around. And it's the Shoreman. Yeah. Mighty Shoreman, the 2016 Premiers in Shoot Shield, coached by Simon Cronin, led round by Will Miller. Yep. The Sinclair brothers in there. Great club, and we're very happy to be a part of it tonight.
Previously, it was 45 years before they won a competition.
Who won it before them?
Uncle Reg Smith was captain.
Your uncle?
Yeah. Your uncle? Wallaby number 537, I think. Yeah.
Old okay. B. Yep. Mates used to play, Adam Ashley Cooper's a
number four. Played like three games.
Graham Bond, Bondy.
Bondy, yep. Great yep. player. Yeah.
Plenty others.
But great club. And they're going well in 2020 as well.
Yeah, they certainly are. Guys, how was the weekend? Drew Mitchell, you had quite a fun long lunch, I hear.
Was it a long lunch or just a
most of my lunch
long trip to go to lunch?
It was a long trip to a long lunch. Just shot up to Byron for lunch and came back for the evening. Yeah, anyway, what about you guys?
I went down the snow again.
Jet setters? Well, yeah. Literally. Yeah.
But we got to...
Hi, Melbourne.
Essentially what we did was we funded his entire week away with the work that we did 3 weeks back down in that part of the world. So Drew has donated a knee to make sure you get a week away in the
you
snow.
You and your family just keep getting like little day trips and ski passes.
It was a two-day trip. Yeah. It was well worth it.
Oh, take advantage
you
of
give,
it.
You take, Drew. That's how it works.
Well, you take.
You're a mad taker. Yeah. Listen, speaking of giving, what got me over the weekend was Ratu Vio Badabasanga scoring one of the all-time individual tries in Queensland Hospital Cup.
Jeeps?
The Jeeps. Yeah. Galloper. Mad try.
And part of me thinks that you wanted to say that just to prove how well you are at pronouncing Fiji names. Because it's not an easy name to pronounce, but you're a very good caller on the World Series, Sean.
Appreciate you.
And that's why you're very good at it, because you can... Can you say surname again, please?
Ratu Vio Badabasanga.
What a try.
Well, you got me, actually, Sean Maloney.
Whoa!
We're calling.
That's after dark.
Carry on, Lou.
Thank you. We were up in Newcastle for the Shoot Shield. Great to get up there. It was great to see the Coleman brothers go head-to-head in the coach's box. But Sean Maloney, it was the coldest day of the year in New South Wales. You were wearing no shoes.
Because it was snowing where I was.
Yeah, you were in the snow. That makes sense.
I got that. We've probably been cold in Byron.
No, but I'm in like 5-7 layers of things and you are there.
Lou was ready to tackle base camp. And I was doing, as Donnie told me to do, don't do what Donnie don't say to not do.
Donnie's our voice coach. Yeah.
Donnie say, don't wear the thongs, don't wear shoes, go barefoot. And that's why, Lou.
Why is he telling you? Just explain it. Sean commentates all of his games in... No shoes at all. He starts with thongs, gets them off because he likes to feel
you gotta
that
feel
one
ground.
With the earth.
And it's not just Shoot Shield. You take this
earth.
Standard to all levels
of
rugby.
World Cup final are called barefoot.
Yeah, but you're not even feeling the earth. You're like standing on some cement pile.
No, I feel
he
it,
just
baby.
Wanted to say called the World Cup final.
No, I feel it. Matt Burke, after that, came up and goes, what are you doing? I said, I don't wear the shoes, Burkey.
You drop names, you drop World Cup titles. Unbelievable.
All right.
What got me, you might need to explain this for me. Right. What got me was just a quick snippet of Curtly Beale in a tutu over in Paris, I assume. A bit unusual, but knowing Curtly isn't that unusual, but can you explain?
It's just a little bit of, I guess, you know, hazing, initiation when you, when you turn up to a new club over there in France. And I understand Luke Jones is also subjected to the same type of thing, but it was more than just him being in a tutu. Curtly donned a blonde wig, a little pink tutu, and they made him go to a public ice skating rink. And Curtly's not too, you know, he's not too comfortable on the skates, but he managed to do a couple of laps. We've got some footage of that. So he's just settling in well over there in Paris. And yeah, I think we'll see some more interesting things. The one thing that I found when I was over in France is you say yes to a lot of things, like stupid things that you would never do here because you think you're so far away, but then
no one's gonna see.
You kind of forget the World Wide Web kind of goes worldwide.
Are you referring to that time you dressed up as a baby with gits? And
no, really that wasn't the time, so don't put that in the overlay, but it was another time where I did something else. And anyway, there's plenty of different things.
What got you this weekend?
What got me was actually the man you just mentioned, gits going back and playing in the John Dent Cup. Where it all started for him. He got picked out of club rugby to go on his first Wallaby tour, and he went back to the Gungahlin Eagles.
Coached by Marco Caputo.
Obviously not as good at enunciating things as Shawnee, but the place, like, it was the coldest day. It was the same day that you were doing that. It was down in Canberra. Freezing cold. I don't think there was, like, a blade of grass on this day. Yeah. And out he went and did his
bit. It's so good. He's just getting saw Johnny Wilkinson reach out to him and said, if you're having a dip, maybe I'll have a look around.
So they had a good little bit of banter on Twitter, just sort of saying, Giddy wants to run off a few more of his hospital passes and do all his tackling for him. But I don't think we'll see Johnny out there. But you never know. Stranger things are happening in 2020.
The best and worst thing he did was probably announce that he's doing it. Because once he said he was doing it, I reckon if he woke up Saturday morning and said, I'm planning this, he would have rolled over and hit snooze. It was a tough day to play footy. But, he's a Canberra local. The fact that he's going back, I think
it's awesome.
It's
so good.
Let's move on. Super Rugby, Rocks and Diamonds. Guys, what you liked, what you didn't like from the weekend. Stephen Hoyles, you're up first.
I'll start with my Rocks, guys. It's not that funny, Sean. Rocks was a TMO again. I think some really basic decisions they got wrong. You just can't afford to get those wrong. And it's not about who you support, because the early in the game, when it's nil all on the first try of the game, it can have a big effect on it. That one,
Lonigan was
clearly...
Ian Smith, the TMO.
Yeah, he got it wrong.
To be fair to Ian Smith, he doesn't get too many wrong.
I know that. I didn't know it was Ian Smith, so there you go. Like, Smithy. I know that they're under time constraints to speed it up, but you just got to get those right, like we all saw it. And my Diamonds comes from the same game. I just thought Pete Samu, so impressive.
Yeah, he was strong.
If there's any criticism of Samu, you can kind of drift in and out of games, but he's got the ability to do things that I don't think any... I'm a big fan of Harry Wilson. I think Naisirani's got some qualities, but Pete Samu, he's the type of player we don't have, and I think that's the type of player we need. Some got a back row that can do things that are, just X factor. It's a pretty corny word to use, but he's quality.
But I think he's putting, because he's been used so much more this season, I think, the Brumbies have got such a, wealth of depth in that back row area. They've had Cusack, they've had McCaffrey, Valentini. They've had so many that they've tried to shift and shuffle around a bit to find the best combination. And I think sometimes it's to the detriment of players being able to get a long run of momentum and then play themselves in a consistent form week in, week out. And I feel like he's got that this year. And that's why I think we're starting to see, like you said, he had the ability to drift in and out of games, but I don't feel like we're seeing that as much this year.
Do you remember last year, though, just leading into the finals, his best two or three games was probably the last one or two before the semis, and then he got injured in the first home semi and didn't get to play the away semi against the Jaguars. So it's almost like he times his run perfectly, but he's put his hand up to say, look, that Wallaby's six or eight is his.
That second try he scored was amazing. Yep. That was millimetre. That was incredible how he got that.
And you know what? They could have actually said that was the toss of the coin, so I'm glad that was awarded the try.
Yeah.
Yeah, post-match, though, he said he didn't get it at all, so it's interesting.
Well, he just felt like his feet were dragging. He said that he felt his feet were dragging, but they dragged, but they just weren't out. Yeah, so
that was good stuff. What about you,
Rock? For me, the Rock would be just a line-out throwing the last few weeks. Like, I just think for too long we're starting to talk about having players the ability to be good around the park and good ball carriers and good over the ball and all that sort of stuff, but we're getting away from the core roles of that, particularly that key role of hooker. You've got to win your set piece. Scrummaging, I think everyone's pretty strong in that area. I think over the last few years, we've come a long way in our set piece in the scrummaging. But the lineouts, it's not even the fact that they're getting picked off by the opposition defence. They're just not even going straight. Yeah. They're going over.
Yeah.
So those things, I just think we need to go back and it's across the board. Like, I think, there's not too many that are standout, real bankers that you can just go, he's going to hit this mark every single time. There's players coming on, first involvement, throwing it crooked, and then after that, you just the wheels come off. And as players, you don't know if you want to go for penalties to touch because you can't back your own line out and those types of things. So I just think that was, for me, was a real big rock over the last few weeks, but certainly reared its head again over the weekend. Diamonds was just the way that the two victories, the two winning teams, really put the other teams away, like put them to the sword and really went on with dominant wins. I think, again, we've probably been guilty in the past. And when I say we, like, I often couple myself in those types of comments because, you know, I was involved in a lot of those teams as well, where you don't really go on with those big wins. You kind of, you get the job done early, but then you kind of just sort of like, you keep them in the fight for too long. Whereas I think on the weekend, the Reds did really good, a really good job of putting the force away, and then also the Brumbies of the Waratahs. But that being said, I think it also showed that there's genuinely not enough depth in Australian rugby. There are players playing in the Australian Super Rugby competition that might struggle, like should struggle for getting in first grade, like starting side. Like there are players that are being given a contract to say, here, play professional rugby, that just aren't up to it, don't deserve it. And that's the argument. Like we're trying to get five teams because it gives us more at the table for broadcasting rights and all that sort of stuff, but we're just not up to it. Like we don't have the depth for it.
One guy who is kind of at the other end of that, James O'Connor.
Yeah.
He was awesome. So he's my diamond from the weekend.
Yeah.
Who rattled past, became, I think, the only player to score 100 points for three different Australian Super Rugby franchises. He was fantastic, so good. And McDermott taking pressure off him and the guys outside him too. My rock is kind of probably on that same track. The Force, I feel for them because they've been away from home, what, 10 weeks now?
Yeah, it's been away same for? As the Rebels have been out
it's
of home for a long period
going,
of time.
Man.
Their lack of preparation.
They cobbled together.
The yeah, they got to sign some players leading
yeah.
in.
But
I can empathise with them being away, but like at the end of the day, we're professional. Like they've got to, you know, every team at certain times throughout their career or their seasons have to overcome different things. And
you would
just
never
because
been
you've
away,
been away
from, you would never been away for 10 weeks.
Yeah,
long,
Sean, like,
yeah, long tour.
10 weeks.
Of course not 10 weeks, but either way, 10 weeks doesn't mean to say that you've become a bad player or that you fall off
and
that you're not even up to the standard.
But like, mentally? Does it not? Does it,
no.
Honestly, like, so when Tate McDermott scores that try the other night, there's still 15 to play, you're away from home, you're not going to win the game. Do you not just drop as a group because you're doing it? You're like, what am I going back to?
Potentially, but I also don't think they've got the cattle to even, to fight against
the teams like the Reds. I don't think they're bunning off and like throwing the towel. With Drew here, I just don't think we've got the talent.
Okay.
And again, we might talk about it later, Lou, with the whole New Zealand Australia conference, but it just highlights when you said you made the point when you see the scores start to blow out, and I think the highest winning margin in the New Zealand competition might have been 20 points.
Yeah,
we're starting to see multiple games 20 plus, and it just shows you like 1 week the Reds can be getting smoked by the Tars by 30 points, and then they're beating the Force by 50. So there's just the consistency is the key to a good side, and we're very inconsistent with all the
other teams. Thing is, after this amount of weeks being away and whatever, then you're going to start having injuries, and you need the depth even more so to lean on when you're John O'Lances and those types of players aren't available. They don't have that second tier. Like that's what we mean by not having the depth. It's not just the starting 15 or the starting 23. It's the whole
round 10.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Understand?
Well, that's kind of like my rock is the Waratahs just not bringing it against the Brumbies. I mean, had a couple of good, really good wins, looked quite good, and then to sort of fall apart like they did. That wasn't fun.
Especially
to
when
watch.
They had everything to play for in terms
exactly.
of going forward in this competition.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And then Diamonds. I got two guys from the Reds. Tate McDermott going very nicely.
Yep.
And Taniela Tupou. My goodness, gosh, he's fun to watch. And he did really, really well. And to see the Reds team just clicking, just in general, I think is a really good sign.
Yeah, the right time of the season too. And I think the beauty of the value the Reds have, that squad's been together similar to the Brumbies for a long period of time. This is a new Tars side. The Rebels have been together for a long period of time. But the Taniela and the Harry Wilsons and Tate McDermott, like, yeah, if they do everything right, they're going to be together for the next 6 years. So they should. We've said it for a long time, but they should be coming into the best years of their career.
And Tate McDermott, is he in Wallabies contention now?
Oh, hey, that's for sure. You know, Nick White has probably got the best control out of any nine with his kicking game, and we need to play more of a kicking game. Jake Gordon's probably the best support player out of all the halfbacks, but Tate McDermott is by far and away the most dangerous running threat out of all the Australian
nines. He's sneaky. He gets
so
through.
He's got to be in the side somewhere,
I love that you mentioned Taniela Tupou being so much fun to watch. After he came off the other night doing a whole bunch of weird stuff to camera, and I was with a mate watching it who snapped back to last year when you teed up a cupcake for Taniela in that post-game in Melbourne on his birthday.
Yeah.
And they still remembered it. So I love that we've got this larger than life dude who can move like the wind, play phenomenal rugby, and he's just a fun dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the other thing with the Queensland Reds, they look like they're having fun out there as well. Like, they're playing a style of footy that they all want to buy into, and you know, they're really, I don't know, expressing themselves. Even Big Taniela finding himself in space a number of times. One time didn't do so well, but and then the other time, right to left, you know, he executes it. So, you know, he's someone that provides highlights not only with his big hits, but he's just...
He's a ripper.
He's fun to watch.
Well, the big stories from the week, we're going to talk about Razor Robinson, the Crusaders coach, of course, and his sort of talk about wanting to get some international experience. He's had so much success at the Crusaders in recent years, of course, talking to Warren Gatland about maybe joining the Lions tour to get some of that international experience. Fair from him? I mean, he's done everything at the Crusaders.
Yeah, he's a professional coach. He wants to improve. He missed out on the New Zealand job. And I saw something recently from Will Greenwood, and I can understand his point of view. He said he'd prefer it to be a coach from the British and Irish Lions, like someone from that part of the world. But he said at the same time, I've got no problem with Razor Robinson, like only because Gatland's head coach. Yeah, and there's it's pathway. But Gatland's entitled to pick whoever he wants. Yeah. He's got a good record with him, so...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Razor Robinson, I think he was unlucky to miss out on the All Black. And I think... Foster won't be given the luxuries that Hansen had. I don't think Foster will get 4 years to get it right. I don't know how long his contract is, but if things don't work out really quickly for New Zealand, I think there'll be a push for Razor Robinson because of how successful he's been.
Well, the one thing that they said to one of the things they said to Razor Robinson was that he didn't have any international experience. So what can he do other than sitting at, you know, he's not going to get it by staying at the Crusaders. He needs to go out there and put himself in a position where he's exposed. And there's no other sort of greater position to be in than being on an assistant or advisor on a British and Irish Lions tour.
He'd be awesome in South Africa as well, obviously with his... No, I mean, he would be awesome in South Africa for a number of reasons. Yeah. First and foremost, obviously, though, with the results in terms of the knowledge he'd have around the South African players he's going to come up against, with the prep work he would have done with the Saders against those teams, the midweeks, and then obviously in the test as well. Be a nice little pick-up, I reckon.
And as an assistant coach, I don't know exactly how Gatland coaches, but he looks as though he's the type of coach that allows his assistants... a lot of responsibility. Yeah. So Razor Robinson would be a key assistant with a lot of experience. So he'd probably be doing a lot of the on-field stuff. So a great pick-up by the Lions if they can get it.
Be a great dice roller in those team bonding sessions. Oh. He'd just be rolling dice left and right.
Loves his surf in South Africa. He's a beautiful country. And that's who wouldn't want to get on that tour? Yeah. If he's not going as a coach, he's probably going to go on a supporters tour. So get there and get involved.
Gone but not forgotten, the time where we remember some of our favourite rugby players for their efforts both on and off the field. Sean Maloney, we've gone with Matt Dunning this week.
The great man. Matt Tucky Dunning.
Tack!
He was up in Newcastle at the weekend presenting the home side with the jerseys, giving a bit of a rev up. A great rugby man, so awesome to watch at full flight. Remember, he went through that period, early 2000s, the intercept king.
He couldn't
stop intercepting.
Highly skillful player, like that was what was probably forgotten about his career towards the end of it. But like the guy he could kick drop goals, pass off both feet. He was a highly skilled player, and then he was one of everyone's favourite team mates to play with. Like he could write a book about everything non-related to rugby, like just the life and times of Matt Dunning. Like,
good diver.
Good diver, you think?
Is it? No, he is. He's from a family of divers.
Really?
Well, yeah.
He was a good skier as a kid.
He was a cult hero throughout a lot of his career because he was a bit of a lovable character, right? But since he's retired, he just went full shred mode.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't he?
Most of us, when we retire, well, not you,
go the other way.
Blow out and we go the other way, but. Yeah, Tucky, lost everyone.
I saw him a couple of weeks ago. His eldest, one of his eldest boy, his second eldest boy, Ben, is playing first for Wavy, so Tucky's helped coaching them at school. And it reminded me because when he was a kid, it came up the other day, his family got free ski lessons and we were just sitting around. This is the sort of stuff you'd hear from him, like someone mentioned I went to the snow and he go, oh, you get family got free ski lessons down in Perish. Like, what do you, or ski holidays, why'd you get free ski holidays? He said, oh, when I was doing ski school, I was about 9, I was like the real fat kid. I was hitting this jump and just smashed myself and everyone started laughing. He goes, so I just went and did it like 5 or 6 times. He goes, by the 7th time, like, I had these people like clapping into this jump and he goes, next thing I know, I wake up 2 days later in Coomer Hospital. So he's gone off his jump and just absolutely levelled himself. But the people at either Perish or Threadbar have got really worried that there's going to be a lawsuit. So they've gone up to his Mr. Dunny and said, listen, mate, just to smoothen things, will you accept this? Like free family ski holidays for the next 10 years. So Tucky's dad said, yes, no legal matters. And they just kept on skiing. Like, it was 3 or 4 boys in the family.
Like, it has life-changing back alignment issues now, but
to fix it, I'm going to pack in 4,000 scrums over the next 20 years. That'll straighten his back out.
The other one as well that I can't, like, was one of the great stories was the aftermath. You guys skimmed over the drop goal, the field goal against the Chiefs when they needed to score the try, and there was a brouhaha afterwards when he came to blows with Desi Tuiavi. He was another favourite, Waratah from the West Club as well. Now I think they hit each other with thongs for a little bit in the cross.
I think in his defence, Tucky was trying to do the right thing and go home, and Des didn't want him to. Not often you saw Tucky trying to go home. He was trying to do the right thing. There's also the famous, I think there was a DUI incident when the officer asked him if he'd had more than 2 drinks and he laughed at him and said, I've spilt more than 2 drinks tonight, officer. So it was a very, he hasn't drank for 3 or 4 years, lost 40 kilos.
I think maybe that's the key to shredding.
And he's a great, great rugby man. So gone but not forgotten.
Well, time to dive into the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag. It is full again this week. Sean Maloney, what have we got?
I'm going to throw my hands deep into it and pull this little number out. This is Andrew Kellaway, the Melbourne Rebel, throwing one in for you, Stephen Hurls, and I believe you might have a chance to chime in to Drewster.
Hey, guys, just checking in from Terrigal. Avid follower, first-time caller. My questions are for Drew and for Hoilsy. Guys, I know you've been around the traps for a while, so I'd love to know your most memorable games, the games you participated in. I think we all sort of aspire to have them, and to hear your guys would be great. And my second question, Hoilsy, been reading a fair bit about what you've been saying in the media, mate. I was just wondering, do you hate everyone at Melbourne, or is it just a few of us? Cheers, guys.
He's got a point. Maybe you should start with that one.
I'll come back to this.
Start with that one.
Do I hate everyone at Melbourne? It's almost like he assumes he's already one of them.
No, well, he's assuming that he's in that group.
He's not. He's assuming, but he's not in that group. Hate's a very strong word. I don't hate Melbourne Rebels. I don't hate Melbourne as a place. I think it's got lovely attributes as a place to visit.
Do you hate them being in the
same program? I just don't think they've added value to the game. And I think we're in the position we are because of... the history.
Is it hard sometimes when you know a guy like that and he's been reading it and he's
seen
it?
I'm very close with the assistant coach, Sean Byrne. I feel as though the game always comes first. You've got to say what you believe, Drew, and I think at the time we're in a really pivotal moment.
Yeah.
If we don't get it right, we'll come back in 10 years' time and go, what should we have done 10 years ago?
Should have listened to Steve. That's what you're thinking.
Your words.
What about the games?
Game? Drew, you go. Give me some time.
Look, it's tough. I mean, it's hard to narrow down, but I mean, that sounds... Anyway.
Yeah.
But... I think two different ones. I think Champions Cup final at Twickenham against Clermont.
Yep.
I was sort of sitting there in that team knowing that Gitz had already been invited by Czech and kind of like, has he said anything about me? Like wanting to be involved but hadn't quite. And then I scored a try in that game, which
good try.
I think kind of like sealed it for me. And
great,
I got the call after that from Czech. It was great because we went on to win that Champions Cup, but also kind of then meant I got to come back and represent Australia again, which I thought was lost. But the other one would be at the same ground, Twickenham again, the World Cup final in 2015. Just the feeling that we had going into it, the momentum we had going into it, and not thinking that we're going to win or hoping we're going to win. Like, we genuinely went to bed believing we're going to win. And I know some people are going to maybe, scoff at that, some of the people that comment on our show and all the rest of it. But, I mean, if you don't go into a game believing that you're going to win, then you've already lost it anyway. But I think because of, the environment that we had and the momentum and the belief we had in ourselves and each other, we genuinely went to bed that night believing that we're going to be world champions the next night. Now, we didn't get beaten by a team that was better on the day. They were just better than us, full stop, right? Like the All Blacks, and especially at that time, they were just better than us.
Yeah.
Not just on the day, but full stop. But so that kind of maybe makes it a little bit easier to accept. But, when you get that close and you know it, For me, it was the last time to ever try and win a World Cup. It was hard to take. I'm still not going back and watched any of that game other than like what kind of comes up on your Insta feed or whatever. I don't sort of sit there and engage in it. It's not something I would need to revisit. So memorable for different reasons, but memorable the same.
Yeah, memorable. I'll go to a poor memory, but yep. You can't shake it. Was the 07 quarterfinal, and I was on the bench with you. So I remember it was a really hot day in Marseille. We lost to England. They had a really poor pool. Wallabies had a great pool. I just look back at that with a huge amount of regret because I felt like we were really good in the pool stages, but we underperformed on the quarterfinal day. Only got 7 minutes or so in the game, but that was one that, as a memory, it's memorable, but it's not a good memory. Could easily say the Super Rugby Championship with the Tars, but I'll actually go back and say, like, what was more memorable to me was, or equally as memorable, was probably a club grand final, because as a kid, that's what I grew up, there wasn't Super Rugby as a kid, and that's what my father played, and so I just always wanted to play and win for Randwick, and we went and won a title in 2004, we lost in 2003, and then we went through
2004 undefeated,
right. Yeah, and so like that was probably at the stage, you know, there's only nowhere near the crowd you played in, but it, yeah, that meant as much to me as what a title did 10 years later for the Waratahs, yeah. Sean?
The next question? Nah, that doesn't matter. I'm coming off World Cup final and, you know, come on.
No one asked me.
But, yeah,
Louise.
I don't have
one. I got a question here. This is from Ned Hannigan. It's probably going to be a bit out there, but let's see what he comes up with.
How you going, guys? Ned Hannigan here. Just down here at Queen's Park, running the pooch about.
That's country.
But my question is to the whole panel. It's going to be not really concerned with footy, but what's your favourite underpants? I need to know fabric, colour. Is there a story behind it? Do you only wear it on special occasions, or is it a pair you wear all the time? I want to know the details. Cheers, guys.
It's a great question. I feel like that question was just directed at one person in particular. So, Sean, what's your favourite?
It feels like it's that Will Ferrell, old school sort of marriage counselling type scenario. Yeah, like, what's he thinking about
I'm
underwear?
In the trust tree.
Yeah, Sean, go for it. What do you got?
Look, I'm a bondsman. Yeah, 2XL.
Yep.
You like a tie?
For one side.
100%, 2XL is plenty. And then it's the trunk fit. But it got me thinking about the. About when I was 19, I used to think I was such a baller. I used to cut around in satin boxes, leopard print.
No.
They matched my leopard print sheets at home.
Who are you?
I was 19. I was cut around. I'd lay in bed and you'd just see legs and a torso because I was camouflaged against my sheets.
Did you see Steve?
What are yours?
pretty basic. I've never really had any preferred. I reckon over the years, like once you sort of grow out of mum and dad buying you the multi pack that I mentioned last week, you sort of snapped off me quite often in the old wedgie gate. But I've always kind of been a pretty sort of. I don't like them tight, and I don't like the boxes. I'm kind of a bit of a hybrid man, you know.
I'm a brief man.
Tight up here, tight up there, but loose in the middle. Yeah,
I'm brief, just like the
cotton
cuffed, sure. Held.
It's nice to be held.
Calvin's, if you want to sponsor the show. No, I don't know really where to go with this. Do you want to answer, Lou?
I'm taking a very big part on this question. Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Thank you, Ned.
You got the next third question.
I've got one. It's from Lockie McCaffrey, actually.
Hey, guys. Love tuning in to the Aussie Rugby Show every week. Thanks to Sean Maloney for the fashion tips, mate. I'm on top of everything you're wearing every week, mate. Everything. And question for Stephen Hoyles, mate. Who's your team, Waratahs or Brumbies, mate? I want to hear it from your mouth. There's rumours each way, mate. I want to hear it from you. Who's your favourite team, Brumbies or Waratahs? Cheers, bud.
So there you go. After the weekend, Brumbies, Waratahs. You played for both?
Yep.
Who is it?
So last weekend I was probably leaning towards... because the Brumbies already qualified, I was probably leaning towards the Waratahs winning. So, bit of history, being a Randwick player. Yep. Randwick, when the Super Rugby started, half the players were at the Tars, like the Kearnsies and the Whittakers and Campeses, and then a lot of the other guys like Ewan McKenzie, Owen Finnegan, David Knox, they went down to the Brumbies. So our clubhouse would literally support half-half. So I was always a bit torn, and my career was half-half. I've pretty much sort of gone down the path of following whoever's on top. So at the moment it would be the Brumbies. I'm not ashamed to say it, Sean. That's simply where it lies. But last weekend, I thought I wanted the Tars to win just to get themselves into the top three. And I'm at the stage now where because I'm 5 years out of retirement, I'm not really associated. There's hardly any players I played with. You feel attached to the Tars when I recently retired. But that's, you know, it was 5 years ago. So now I'm...
So you support Lockie.
You haven't answered this question.
Look down the barrel and tell Lockie who it is.
So if it happens to be a super final, Tars v Brumbies, who will you be cheering?
If it's this year's super final, Tars v Brumbies, I will go for the Brumbies if it's this year's. Yeah. I still want to be a part of the only winning Waratah side, so there's
self-interest. Yeah. 30 horses.
No, this year, like you can't. I'd go for the Brumbies this year because I think the last couple of years they've earned it. Yeah.
And how good Lockie McCaffrey's hat and his kid just going.
She knew it was mine. He doesn't like the rugby show.
Amazing that the boys get involved and sending us some through.
Solid.
So if any other players watch it,
maybe not.
You don't have to like it either. You can send some rubbish questions or
maybe
tell
not
us
about
that we're rubbish
the underwear
or...
sort of stuff. That was. Yeah. We don't need to know. Sean's
Ned's a bit of a creep.
In the 2XL or 2XL sewn together or whatever he's in.
I'm glad we got the leopard print story in there. That was great. Guys, thanks so much for your company again. Sean Maloney, Stephen Hoyles, Drew Mitchell. Thanks for your company. Wherever you're watching or listening as well. We are a podcast where you can see it all on Rugby Pass's social channels. I'm Louise Ransom. We'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.